Storm clouds are gathering.
Is that where we were?
No, I mean...
Yeah, we were a little past that last time.
No, I mean here. Listen.
We're gonna get a lot of rain.
Are we safe?
What?
Is it safe in here?
Why wouldn't it be?
It's a cave.
I think you'd see something.
Yeah, you'd be able to see, like, a line on the walls.
A line?
Like a ring around a bathtub, a flood line.
I don't see a line.
So we're good.
We'll stay ready.
Sure.
Yeah, in case we need to go.
This is the safest place we can be, away from the lightning.
Okay. So, where were we?
It was after storm clouds.
As I said.
Okay.
I'm the one who said that.
Yeah, we were at, like, credit card?
Definitely past credit card.
It was a charge card.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
So, then what are we...
War memorial?
Yeah, we got the war memorial.
Oh, the fucking phone booth scene.
Oh, they saw Rocky.
Yeah, I think we're still a little past that.
The gum?
Gum?
The gum scene or a mint or whatever?
No. That's that's way later.
I don't know this part.
Yeah, so Regis isn't back, right?
He's about.
Sure. Okay, so the kid got beat up.
Sam, yeah. Oh, and Jellyfish.
Jellyfish didn't get beat up. Jellyfish did the beating.
Sure.
Right. So the Regis stuff we've seen so far was Applebite.
Applesauce.
Applesauce, yeah. He hired that kid to burn places down so he could hack applesauce.
Is he a kid?
Richard Maxwell? I think he was in high school.
But like 18 or something, I think.
And applesauce was going to get traded to some arms dealers?
Then he showed up again in Chicago.
And then Richard appeared there too.
With a gun.
Right, and he wanted revenge.
And he made Regis suck him off.
What?
What are you talking about?
At gunpoint. You don't remember this?
He didn't get sucked off. It was a water gun.
I really, like, vividly remember him getting sucked off.
Didn't happen. Anyway, he escaped again.
That was all just about a laptop, right?
He was also setting up some kind of electronics franchise.
Electric Palace.
Yep. Built over Regis's old arcade, Blackard's Castle.
Oh, and Whit.
Whit's not around anymore.
Yeah, but his son, Jason, his son is in the CIA.
FBI.
NSA.
I thought he was in the ATF.
Anyway, his son is doing CIA stuff in Switzerland.
NSA.
And he meets Regis there.
Yeah, and it turns out that the applesauce program was the key to some kind of biological weapon.
Roku.
Roku. Roku is TV.
And Whit's son, Jason, gets hoodwinked by Regis in a Swiss dungeon.
Wait, is he the one who gets sucked off?
No one gets sucked off!
Anyway, Jason watches Regis gets killed with Roku.
Yeah, but not really.
Yeah, it's a scheme.
And Jason moves back home to live at his dad's ice cream shop.
Can he even live there? Like, as far as zoning law is concerned?
Odyssey is a YIMBY town. Mixed-use building.
Well, they're not leasing it, right?
They are, from the city.
No, his dad owns it.
It's in a park.
Yeah, but he owns it. He used CIA money to buy it.
NSA!
That was the whole thing with Glossman.
More like Grossman.
Sure is. He wanted that land for himself.
And Whit got all of it. The rec center, the pipe organ, and that weird door in the basement.
No. No. I don't think he owns the basement.
I mean, he probably owns the basement.
Well, there's like a thing about the land.
So those tunnels aren't part of the shop?
Tunnels?
Underground railroad tunnels.
Well, they go out to the woods in a rectory that burned down, so yeah, I guess they'd be separate.
They were tunnels? I thought they were caves.
Whit doesn't have caves. Tom has caves.
And his farm got contaminated by chemicals.
Oh yeah, his apples were poisoned.
Right. Edgelord Chemicals.
Edgebiter.
Oh, that's where you got Apple Bite.
Did I?
Not you, Trevor. Applesauce, Edgebiter, Apple Bite.
Oh.
From earlier.
Oh, that wind is getting cold.
Throw some more wood on the fire.
Did you hear that?
No.
Hear what?
It's just the wind.
It sounded like someone's stepping on a stick.
It's a storm.
Branches fall off trees.
Hey, keep an eye out, though.
Don't make him paranoid. Fine, yes. AJ, keep listening, watching out, whatever.
So, Edgebiter. Contaminated apples, and then Glossman wanted to destroy the farm with the fake EPA testing.
So Tom ran for mayor.
And won.
Against Bart Rathbone, the guy with the electronics store.
And his son is Jellyfish.
His son is Rodney.
It's close enough. Jellyfish showed up. He's a gang leader. All good.
And Regis's brother is in town at a dinner theater.
Does that have anything to do with anything?
Not really. Oh, is he the guy that sucks Richard off?
AJ, I am begging you to drop all this sucking and fucking.
That's where we were.
On the sucking?
No!
Jellyfish and Rodney beat up Butch.
Right, because he was a double agent.
He was helping the good gang.
The Israelites.
The most moral gang in the world.
And Wit is gone, and Jack is there, and Jason's back. And
hold on.
It's nothing.
Shh. Okay, sorry, who's the boss guy?
Oh, shit.
They're really close.
Okay, we gotta go.
They're right outside.
It's a big cave. We'll go further in. Come on.
Hurry, hurry.
Stay calm
and quiet. Quiet.
The storm clouds are gathering.
So many possible worlds, but we got this one. So many possible worlds, but we got this one.
Welcome to the Worst of All Possible Worlds, the first and only podcast to merge the excitement of an Anne Washburn play with the thrills of Adventures in Odyssey. I'm the worst of all possible Joshes.
I'm the worst of all possible AJs.
And I'm the worst of all possible Brians.
And joining us today, we have a special guest. He's returning once again. He's been on the show now, a couple times, right?
Yeah, at least two.
Yeah, co-host of the fantastic No Cartridge podcast and general man about town.
God damn
dare
it.
I say it.
No,
it is Trevor Strunk.
Is this, I feel like I am a man about town. I
you
think this
are.
Is, it's rude that AJ doesn't want me to be.
Yeah,
no,
that's what,
I don't, that's
not
what I'm
saying,
saying
you're not. It's just like not everyone can be man about town.
That's
Josh,
the thing that Josh says when he runs out of things to say.
I like having men, women, people around about town on our show. It's one of the ways that I vet what makes for a good guest.
I think maybe you're right that he should say it less, but it's right about me.
That okay. is, you know what? That is true. This is yeah. the you're the, you are the one man
I'm
about
the,
town.
I'm the
town
one,
that it
I'm
is
the
true
one
for.
Man about town. The one person you can say that about.
Anyway, Trevor, we of course have dragged you back into yet another week here of Wit's Endless Summer.
So exciting! I was actually enjoying myself till the end.
Oh, good.
yeah.
This is, the ongoing sub-series of our show where we listen to and talk about episodes of Adventures in Odyssey, the evangelical Christian children's radio drama produced by Focus on the Family. And we are finding ourselves in the middle, of course, of an epic right now.
Yeah.
The Darkness Before Dawn. What do you call an 11-parter? What's the word for that?
Well, a 10-parter would be a decalogue.
A decalogue. It's a decalogue.
What's an 11-alogue?
Nothing. What's 11-alogue with you?
There we go.
Let's see. If it is a 12... What is a 12-part story? It's not a... It wouldn't be a...
So if it's 11 parts, it would be a hendecalogue.
Hendecalogue?
Yeah. A hendecagon is an 11-sided shape.
Okay.
I thought that's when 11 Hindus were all happening at the same pub in England.
What's a Hindu?
Nothing. What's a Hindu with you?
Damn it. Anyway, Trevor, last time you were on our show, you were listening to some episodes of Adventures in Odyssey. We
it's
talked
so true.
About. I'm trying to remember what it was we were talking about.
We went to Mexico.
We went to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
It was the
yeah.
adventure game version.
In the pipe organ, right? There it is.
That
it
was
is.
Where that came from. That was very exciting.
Oh, my
yeah,
Lord.
Yeah, the little thing in the pipe organ.
Also, the origin of a certain pipe organ salesman was that episode. So what a fun... Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But you got something wrong with your pipes.
Yeah. Jesus God.
It was such a good episode.
It was. And it's so cool to have you back for this one as we're sort of in the middle of this. And I think, I mean, unless the finale really pulls out full stops, like this is like all trilogies.
And that, like yeah. in a pipe organ?
Ah, God damn it. This is going to be like my favorite. This is like The Empire Strikes Back for me.
Even the
last episode.
Yeah, no, especially last episode, because it puts us at our lowest point ever because,
right.
you know,
well,
the worst thing that could ever happen to Eugene happens, which we'll get to.
Well, that episode spoke a lot to you because Eugene got like really interested in theology, just like how you've been getting really interested in like Baptist theology, right?
Mm.
I mean, I can see that Holman Bible on the shelf right behind you, AJ.
Stop
trying to hide it from me.
Well, it's really hard
to
see because of all the holes in it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we know you're searching for the truth.
It's all dog-eared and bookmarked. There's like a big crease on the spine.
AJ doesn't want people to know this, but whenever he goes back home to California, he will go every Sunday to Saddleback Church.
I do love horses. So,
oh boy,
we are here to talk about four episodes, sort of in the middle of this thing. And I'll be honest, this thing really kicks into high gear here.
Yeah,
this is probably the most enjoyable succession of episodes that we've ever done for the show.
Yes.
I don't think it tops Monty's Christmas in terms of just like a good standalone episode. But like,
Brian is so happy right now.
Here's a spoiler for the end of the episode. I cried. So,
did you cry? When did you cry?
Come on, man.
It's really dumb. There's two points that I cried, and we'll get to them. They're both in the worst episode of this, like overall. But two little things really stuck out at me. But you know, first we got to deal with the goo in the tunnels underneath Wit's End.
We certainly do.
Goo time. It's a goon cave.
This is episode 327, Moving Targets, written and directed by Paul McCusker. Which originally aired on August 12, 1995. And this episode really picks up right where the last one left off. We know Jason is back in town. Jason Whitaker.
The boy is
son.
Back in town.
Jason. That's right. That's right.
Jason's back.
And we already know, of course,
Jason
that...
Jason X.
Is there anything else you guys need to like get out? Or
I'm really excited for the next episode where we go to space.
So, we got Jason. We got Eugene.
Eugene's got a mustache.
He does.
Kind of.
Just like me.
And Trevor, you pretty quickly messaged me here and you were like, oh, God, it's Eugene again.
I was not happy to be reunited with Eugene. I'm not a big Eugene guy.
We've kind of gotten the full spread from guests on this podcast. People either really love Eugene or they really, really don't like
him. No, I think Trevor's the only one who doesn't like Eugene.
Well,
Trevor Strunk is representing the Eugene haters.
I find him aggressively grating.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of a clip here because Katrina sort of got Eugene going through it and has had Eugene going through it.
Oh, Katrina? Wait, you mean Pamela Hayden?
I mean
successful TV voice actor Pamela. Boy, I sure hope that she doesn't show up in one of these clips in a role other than her role in Adventures in Odyssey.
I also hope that.
Son of a bitch.
Eugene and Jason just kind of have a chat about like what's going on.
I'm catering to my desire for change since,
since Katrina left. Right, I get it. You know, Eugene, I remember once after I broke up with a long-term girlfriend. I wore cardigan sweaters for a whole year. No particular reason, just one of those things I needed to do.
Now, Jason, Katrina and I haven't broken up per se.
You haven't?
No.
I thought...
No. She's merely giving us geographical and emotional space while we consider the future of our relationship.
Right. You know, that's exactly what Gloria said to me 6 months before she married some other guy.
I don't think that Eugene would misuse per se in that way. Because he is such a pedant, as am I.
I'm actually surprised Paul McCusker misused it in this way, because he's somewhat literate, unlike, you know, Phil Lawler.
Take it back about Phil Lawler.
Oh, you're a Lawlerhead, Trevor?
I'm a Lawlerhead now that he's we were talking about his controversy last night.
Phil Lawler is very controversial among the fans these days because he wrote this long saga that's basically just The Bad Seed, from what I can tell. It's just about a psychotic kid, but also Wit does some trauma. He does some no growth.
Yeah. So basically, from what I can tell, Wit has been asked to take this kid and his sister in, the Bad Seed kid. And in order to make sure that he doesn't do bad, he basically just allows him to do bad things in order to test his Christianity and puts him, like, gets put in the imagination station for like without being told and stuff. Wit makes some choices, to be sure.
I would definitely make us listen to this before we went to Colorado Springs, but it's like over a span of like 30 episodes or something. So
yeah, it's interesting too because like apparently that whole saga has sort of a lot of echoes with this particular saga in that their go-to thing to make something dramatic is to introduce a Moriarty character.
Yes.
Somebody who is,
a very good point.
The Napoleon of crime.
Who's the Moriarty character here? It's not series protagonist Regis Blaggard, is it?
Unfortunately, I have some bad news it is. I would like to say one thing in defense of Eugene using per se incorrectly here.
Okay.
We're still on. No, I know.
I should have put this in the script at the beginning.
No, because here's the thing about it being, like, you know, pedantic. But, like, the thing is that, like, dramaturgically, I get it. because he is a broken man.
Yeah, yeah,
at this
his
point.
Whole world, his so, whole world so has been shattered.
He's starting to do malapropisms because of his grief.
Because his brain isn't functional, and it gives you like this insight into him. Look,
I'll take it.
Not saying this is intentional. I'm not saying I don't think that this was. You know, they were very busy writing this 12-parter.
Very
I'm sure things
busy.
Kind of got swept under the rug or whatever. But like
swept,
sweet, yeah, malaprops.
Yeah, malaprops. It is accidentally brilliant in a way that a lot of this feels kind of purposefully brilliant for the first time. Well, listening to
it's
this
so
is
so engaging.
Like, it's like watching a dog do calculus. You're like, how? You're not capable of this.
He's not particularly good calculus, but he did make it that far.
He
made it farther than me. I was never able to do calculus.
No.
Yeah, he's got a little graduation.
I mean,
cap
that was the problem.
On.
I was listening to this. I was so engaged. I'm like, this is better than the first four were.
Mm-hmm. Infinitely.
One, there's like no kids for any of these episodes.
Right. That's
really
huge.
Good part. Yeah.
But like they really get the plot machinery moving. There's fun stuff going on. There's good performances. You get a lot of evil laughs.
Oh, so many evil
and
laughs.
I was like,
yeah.
I really am dreading the moment where I say how much I like this because AJ is going to shit all over my dreams. He's going to be so mad. He's going to be like, this was the worst section of Adventures in Odyssey I've ever heard. And so to hear you say that you were kind of digging it has elated me so much.
This felt good, right? Like, Trevor, as someone who has not had to listen to nearly as many Odyssey episodes.
Yeah, I've been carrying the coal mine on this one.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, is this like, I mean, I feel like it's not whatever Stockholm Syndrome, but real is. You know what I mean? Like, what is the real version of Stockholm Syndrome?
I mean, I think Stockholm Syndrome could just be a symbolic thing, like Chekhov's gun. Not real, but what if it was?
Yeah.
But yeah, you kind of unlocked it for me. But there were no kids in this. Very few kids, right? Connie really did not factor much in. And I was texting with Josh and I was saying, like, you know, the thing about Adventures in Odyssey is like, because I listen to a lot of radio drama when I'm working because it's like it's good for the soul. So like I'll listen to, you know, a bunch of like, I've listened to a lot of Dragnet. That is just, I mean, that's not good for the soul.
No, that's soul rotting.
It is soul rotting, but it is predictable and routine, which is also good for the working soul.
Yeah.
Johnny Dollar, which is good for the soul.
Johnny Dollar is so like we need like a prestige TV like they did with Perry Mason. They need to do that with Johnny Dollar where there's like
just
dead babies.
Always have that guy from whose name I really should know, but that guy from The Americans,
Matthew Reese.
Yeah. Matthew Reese.
Yes.
Always play every character like.
Look, once Warren Beatty's gone, he's got his hands on Dick Tracy immediately.
He's Dick Tracy. He's Johnny Dollar. He's
the Shadow.
Yeah, he's the Shadow. He's the Phantom. He's all of them.
Simon Templar.
Yeah, he's Simon Templar.
If there's a the before it, he's it.
Simon Templar's so good. Yeah. I listen to that, too. But the thing about like radio drama is that like the stuff that makes it good and interesting is all the stuff that Odyssey can't subscribe to. So you need secrets, and you need lies, and you need double crossing. You need like shady deals, and you need
character flaws.
Yeah, you need sort of a gray protagonist. Like even in Dragnet, you kind of need a gray protagonist. You need like Joe Friday to be like, I don't know how I'm going to solve this case. Like it's too difficult. And then like, you know, his partner sort of is like the foil. Like you need someone who's like you say, flawed, and Odyssey can't have that. And I think the way Odyssey can't have it is through the kids, because the one time it comes up where like Jason's like, oh, I gotta go, I got something on, and Connie's like, ugh, more secrets. It's like, yeah, Connie, that's the point. Like people need to you can't just constantly be wit and look at the camera and go, well, here's what's going on in this plot.
Yeah, yeah.
Particularly because he's still in Israel.
There's also like no assigned Bible verses for most of these episodes, except for the fourth one that we listened to, even on the AIO wiki.
Huh.
Like there's no just like, you know, 2 James chapter 4, verse 3. There is no 2 James. That's me doing a Bible joke.
That's really funny.
Yeah, which AJ is now familiar with because he's read the Holman Bible front to back.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's actually where the hole is in 2 James. It just says 2 James, and there's just a big hole.
Wait, hold
there.
On. Hold on.
Ah.
So they call it the whole man Bible. gotta do the whole man.
I'll have you know, all the Southern Baptists that listen to our show are very offended right now.
Yeah, it is the gayest Bible.
It has more poetry than the NIV.
Yeah, that's why it's gay.
I want to pull us back into this episode, Moving sure. Targets, episode 327, Adventures in Odyssey.
The first of four.
And talk a little bit about Jason's ideas for Wit's End.
Mm. Because good idea.
You'll remember there's those tunnels downstairs, down in the basement, and Jason's got some ideas about those tunnels and how they could be used.
Look, I want to talk to you about the tunnel downstairs.
The tunnel? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. The tunnel formerly used for the Underground Railroad.
You just forgot for a second.
I'm doing some research on it.
Good, because I want your help. Mm. You see, I was thinking that since it's such a remarkable find, we should open it up as an attraction.
Attraction?
Yeah, you know, a display of some kind.
I love the honky-tonk player piano in the background.
Wit's End was once a church, and the pastor helped free the slaves and all that.
Indeed. But I'm not sure how one would set up such a display in an old tunnel. I assume, for example, the city building codes would have to be consulted for safety?
Well, I just called to see if a city inspector would come check it out. Mm. I figure that's the best way to go.
That seems fine.
Sure.
Yeah, that's normal.
All on the up and up. I will say that in terms of the larger scheme that Blackguard is kind of going for, spoilers, Regis Blackguard is behind all of this.
No! What? Come on!
Even American slavery?
Yeah, I mean, probably the Dutch had some hand in that.
Oh, they certainly did.
They certainly did.
Hey there, you are listening to a preview of a premium episode of The Worst of All Possible Worlds. If you want to get the rest of this episode, and trust me, you do, go on over to patreon.com/worstofall, subscribe for $5 a month, and you will instantly get all the rest of this episode, including some of the most ridiculous bits that we have ever concocted for this show. Plus, then you get the entire backlog of all of our premium episodes, our monthly Fancy Movie Time episodes, and if you want to subscribe for $10, you even get access to our monthly, off-the-cuff, shoot-the-shit Ladscast. Again, that's patreon.com/worstofall. Hope to see you there.